Good afternoon. Hello. Welcome. This is September 5th, 2023, and it is 17:59 Eastern Daylight Time. This is Ward Green with you, and we're looking at a YouTube video here, which is about the climate change. It's from the Astrum channel, and it's called "This Will Be My Most Disliked Video on the YouTube," or on YouTube, excuse me. "This will be my most disliked video on YouTube." And then it says climate change. So it's about climate change. And on this graph, we see at the 10 minute and 17 second mark that over the 800,000 years prior to our time, these are temperatures derived from some source like ice core, or there are different ways of ascertaining this. There's also a way of obtaining temperatures for earlier times by means of a small creature which is a single-celled organism like a clam in some ways. But anyway, it builds a shell around itself. And by examining the age of the air trapped inside, scientists compute these, perhaps inaccurate, but they compute these time values, and the time scale comes from that. So we see over 800,000 years in this graph, there's been up to a 12-year variation. Not 12 year, 12 degree. I'm not sure what, doesn't say what temperature scale, whether Fahrenheit or Celsius. Persons possibly in Europe, in that case it's Celsius, I believe. But 12 degree variation from the peaks to the lows has been going on for 800,000 years, according to this graph. So this video, I would recommend this very much. It's a 22 minutes, 13 seconds to be precise, video on YouTube. And it's called, once again, "This Will Be My Most Disliked Video on YouTube." And it's on the Astrum channel. Now, oh, there's so many things. I'm so excited about the recent discovery that I made for my own edification, and also for those to whom I reveal it, and that is that these 14-year cycles, it's so exciting, 14-year cycles, it explains completely why Luke says in Luke 2 and 1 that Quirinius was governing Syria at the time of this census, because it was a 14-year census. So we know that Quirinius was actually, or there's a lot of evidence for it. People generally believe this. All the most, probably even the less prominent scholars, they all believe that Quirinius was governor in 6 years, in the sixth year of our common era, which is called 6 CE. Used to be called 6 AD, according to the older convention, but we call it 6 CE. And Quirinius was very much believed, and is very much believed, to have been the governor in that year. But the cycle that started in 9 years before, in the ninth year before the Common Era, which is BCE 9, used to be called 9 BC, that cycle that was 14 years from BCE 9 to 6 CE is now completely understood, in the sense that because it was Quirinius who collected the taxes at the end of that cycle, that's why Luke refers to him, even though he also mentions that it was the first registration. Then he could be meaning from that it was the beginning of this cycle of 14 years, that's why he said the first registration. There may have been several years to register all the tribes of Israel. There might have been maybe even 7 years to do that, and then 7 years to collect. That might be how it was done. More research, perhaps we can do on this. I'm very thrilled about it. Of course, we believe the scriptures to be accurate. That's from paragraph 1-8 of Born and Raised. We jump down now to our study location. 6. We check that. Right. I need to look back into yesterday's for a moment just to verify. Yeah, we're on paragraph 6-5. Really? Is that true? What was that? Yesterday's was the 4th? No, that was 6-5, right? Yesterday. So this is 6-6. Since the date given for the first enrollment of BCE 9 is based soundly on the year BCE 23 for the first year in the official reckoning for the Roman constitutional principate, or principate, in Latin, principate, I believe. Principate, I guess we should say principate. Principate of Emperor Augustus. And we've said that just now, BCE 9 is based soundly on the year BCE 23 for the first year of the official reckoning for the Roman constitutional principate of Emperor Augustus. I want to say it in Latin, but it's principate in English, I suppose. And it's based on a 14-year cycle. So that's the reason why we have 9 BCE, but also we know some of the later ones, and they coincide with that 14-year cycle, which proves it. It is conclusive, thus, that it was Augustus who initiated this cycle. Why? Well, because his first year was BCE 23. That's the reason. His first year for the Roman Empire. Although we saw he began ruling Egypt in the year BCE 30. It is consecutive in Egypt for the years 90 of the Common Era to 230 of the Common Era. With an example from the year 20 CE as we note above. There is also an example from 62 CE from Nero. The idea of a household enrollment is, however, probably far older than Augustus in Egypt. He only adopted it. The 14-year cycle was something initiated by Augustus. In other words, the length of time, 14 years, that's what he initiated. The household enrollment was not a new thing. The above conclusion is indeed quite consistent with the statement by Luke that the decree was by Augustus. It was by Augustus. The only thing remaining to be determined is how it is that the enrollment took place in BCE 6 and not BCE 9. Well, we've already partly answered that with our new discovery recently, haven't we? And here we have a painting by Rembrandt from about 1650. There's the angel speaking with the adoptive father of Jesus, Joseph, and Mary's there too. And isn't that a beautiful painting? Oh my goodness. But Rembrandt paints a lot of beautiful paintings. An angel telling Joseph in a dream to flee to Egypt. Our proverb for today, little ones. Proverbs 13 and 5. A false word is what the righteous hates, but the wicked ones act shamefully and cause disgrace for themselves. our reading from Deuteronomy, which is Deuteronomy 27. And, okay, Moses is still on the east side of the Jordan opposite Jericho, which is north of the Dead Sea. And Moses, together with the older men of Israel, went on to command the people, saying, "There should be an observing of every commandment that I'm commanding you today. And it must occur that in the day when you will cross the Jordan into the land that Jehovah your God is giving you, you must also set up for yourselves great stones and whitewash them with lime. And you must write upon them all the words of this law when you have crossed, in order that you may enter into the land that Jehovah your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, according to what Jehovah, the God of your forefathers, has spoken to you. And it must occur that when you have crossed the Jordan, you should set up these stones, just as I am commanding you today, in Mount Ebal. And you must whitewash them with lime. You must also build an altar there to Jehovah your God, an altar of stones. You must not wield an iron tool upon them. With whole stones you should build the altar of Jehovah your God. And you must offer burnt offerings to Jehovah your God on it. And you must sacrifice communion sacrifices and eat them there, and you must rejoice before Jehovah your God, and you must write on the stones all the words of this law, making them quite clear." Then Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, "Keep silent and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of Jehovah your God, and you must listen to the voice of Jehovah your God and carry out his commandments and his regulations, which I'm commanding you today." And Moses went on to command the people on that day, saying, "The following are the ones who will stand to bless the people on Mount Gerizim when you have crossed the Jordan: Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And the following are the ones who will stand for the malediction on Mount Ebal: Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites must answer and say with raised voice to every man of Israel, 'Cursed is the man who makes a carved image or a molten statue, a thing detestable to Jehovah, the manufacturer of the hands of a wood and metal worker, and who has put it in a hiding place.' And all the people must answer and say, 'Amen.' Cursed is the one who treats his father or his mother with contempt." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who moves back the boundary mark of his fellow man." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who causes the blind to go astray in the way." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who perverts the judgment of an alien resident, a fatherless boy and a widow." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who lies down with his father's wife because he has uncovered the skirt of his father." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who lies down with any beast." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who lies down with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who fatally strikes his fellow man from a hiding place." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who accepts a bribe to strike a soul fatally when it is innocent blood." And all the people must say, "Amen." "Cursed is the one who will not put the words of this law in force by doing them." And all the people must say, "Amen." That's the end of Deuteronomy 27. Little children, we're going now to, if you wish, and if you're able to, let's go to Revelation 12. Once again, the Apostle John, the beloved of Jesus, relating what he saw in heaven. And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun, and the moon was beneath her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she was pregnant, and she cries out in her pains and in her agony to give birth. And another sign was seen in heaven, and look, a great fiery colored dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon its head 7 diadems, and its tail drags a third of the stars of heaven, and it hurled them down to the earth. And the dragon kept standing before the woman who was about to give birth, that when she did give birth, it might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male, who is to shepherd all the nations with an iron rod. And her child was caught away to God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled with the dragon, and the dragon and its angels battled, but it did not prevail. Neither was a place found for them any longer in heaven. So down the great dragon was hurled, the original serpent, the one called devil and Satan, who is misleading the entire inhabited earth. He was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven say, Now have come to pass the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. Because the accuser of our brothers has been hurled down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their witnessing. And they did not love their souls even in the face of death. On this account, be glad, you heavens, and you who reside in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great anger, knowing he has a short period of time. Now when the dragon saw that it was hurled down to the earth, it persecuted the woman that gave birth to the male child. But the 2 wings of the great eagle were given the woman, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place. There is where she is fed for a time, and times, and half a time, away from the face of the serpent. So there we see the 3.5 times. And the serpent disgorged water like a river from its mouth after the woman to cause her to be drowned by the river. But the earth came to the woman's help, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the river that the dragon disgorged from its mouth. And the dragon grew wrathful at the woman and went off to wage war with the remaining ones of her seed who observe the commandments of God and have the work of bearing witness to Jesus. That's the end of Revelation 12, and that concludes our study of the Bible for today, little ones, although we can continue contemplating it, of course. Now, in our, I showed this, yeah, the other day. I just think I would like to show maybe part of this video here. It may be too loud, not sure. So let me turn it down before we start. So if I play it,
temperature. The temperature drops as the ice shield faces the sun and rises again as it points away. This fluctuation is one example of a Milankovitch cycle. There are other Milankovitch cycles, which are consistent cycles in the Earth's orbit that affect its temperature, acting on timescales of 23,000, 41,000, 100,000, 405,000, and 2.4 million years. Whenever these coincide with each other, they create even greater changes to the global temperature. You can see the gaps between the ice ages in this graph tend to be about 100,000 years apart, perfectly in line with one of the Milankovitch cycles, specifically the change in the Earth's orbital eccentricity. But all of the cycles have an impact. So, where are we in relation to one of these Milankovitch cycles? Let's zoom in some more. As you can see, we have risen out of an ice age and have entered a fairly stable plateau of global temperature. This is consistent with the rapid rise in temperature / slow drop in temperature that characterizes ice ages and the periods between them. All of human history, from the pyramids to the present day, can be found on this plateau. Although humans existed before this point, they hadn't really got the hang of building any civilizations. Scientists have named this plateau where human history began, the Holocene period. However, the uptick right at the end is not so usual. This uptick represents a rise in the global temperature by 1 degree, which technically is still roughly on par with the interglacial period before our current one over 100,000 years ago. However, it is not the temperature change that is concerning about this uptick. It is how quickly it is rising. Unlike all the other changes on all these graphs, which have taken place over hundreds of millions of years at the longest and thousands of years at the shortest, this rise took place in 100 years. This could have a big impact on the ecosystems on the planet. So, what could have caused this uptick? The answer cannot be Milankovitch cycles. As you have seen, these cycles take place on the scale of thousands of years at least, and millions at most. Even when we zoom in on sections of our graph where there appear to be sharp upticks, we realize that these rises take place over a couple of thousand-year periods. Milankovitch cycles are described as weak but consistent forces, like the trickle of a stream that eventually erodes a mountain. They do not create effects over such a small time frame as 100 years. Similarly, there has been no cataclysmic event such as the one that wiped out the dinosaurs, which might be our other explanation. That meteor was thought to be 10 kilometers wide and struck with a force of 21 to 921 billion Hiroshima A-bombs. About 75% of species died in the climate change that happened in its aftermath. If something like that had hit Earth in 1850, we would have noticed it. However, there is one factor that does explain this change in global temperatures: the activity of humans. It is not the first time that living organisms have had an impact on the global temperature. Remember, it is believed that some of the changes we see here are caused by the introduction of plant life absorbing CO2 and releasing oxygen. Similarly, back when life was still all single-celled organisms about 2.4 billion years ago, the arrival for the first time of cyanobacteria that could photosynthesize had a massive impact on the atmosphere. For the first time, an organism started putting oxygen into the atmosphere. This occurred at such a rate there was an event known as the Great Oxidation Event, which coincided with a significant drop in the global temperature. Some scientists believe the entire world almost froze entirely over, as there is evidence of glacial activity at the equator, a snowball Earth as it came to be known. What we learn from this is that the balance of global temperatures is very delicate. A single species that starts to change the atmospheric ratio of gases can have a massive impact, overloading the subtler effects of Milankovitch cycles. And since 1850, humans have definitely changed the way we have been interacting with the atmosphere. Unlike the previous roughly 10,000 years of human history, since 1760 and the Industrial Revolution, human activity has produced vast amounts of greenhouse gases as a waste product of industrialization and farming. In the last four decades, each decade has been the hottest decade on record since we started tracking global temperatures in 1850. CO2 levels are now at a global average of 410 parts per million, and methane at 1,866 parts per billion, which is higher than we have seen in the last 800,000 years, which means since before about 8 ice ages and interglacial periods between them. And importantly, the global cover of surface ice has been retreating consistently since 1950, something scientists do not believe to have happened for the last 2,000 years. As you will recall, this has a knock-on effect on Milankovitch cycles, as a planet with less surface ice does not reflect as much heat from the sun, so it tends to get even hotter. By pushing a cart down a hill, these changes have a certain amount of momentum to them. And sadly, rapid changes in global temperature tends to lead to species going extinct. It normally takes thousands of years for life to adapt to the conditions you might find during an ice age. Woolly mammoths to conditions today, elephants. Natural selection takes time to develop in a species the traits they need to thrive in a new environment. If species are not given this time, they either have to move to a new environment better suited to them, or they will die out. As the habitable zones begin to migrate towards the poles, some zones will vanish completely, while new, hot desert environments will be created that life in general is poorly adapted to. It's important to note that these events are not unstoppable. Global temperature change does have some momentum, but if we as humans find ways to stop changing the atmosphere's ratio, then in time, Milankovitch cycles will take over again and the rise will stop. That's why it's so important for governments to listen to reports by institutions like the IPCC, an international group of scientists funded by multiple governments, tasked with finding out the realities of climate change, who in 2021 released their sixth assessment report explaining the physical science basis. In it, they stated that it is unequivocal that human influence has warmed the atmosphere, ocean, and land. However, they also offered suggestions, namely the importance of halting or rapidly reducing CO2 emissions towards net zero, as CO2 is the largest contributor towards climate change, followed by methane. They also recommended the development of carbon dioxide removal facilities to be established worldwide. Some of these are already in operation, such as Project Longship in Norway. Their aim is to take CO2 out of the atmosphere and bury it beneath the ground in depleted fossil fuel reservoirs. The IPCC says that actions like this, if widespread enough, will reduce global surface temperature and even reverse certain other processes like acidification of the oceans. Personally, I'm not super convinced by current carbon capture projects, but they do exist. But these efforts need to be done on a large-scale government level. Ultimately, my aim for this video was to examine what global warming meant within the context of Earth's wider history. From it, we can see that it's not actually accurate to say that we're the hottest we've ever been. And I find that a really fascinating insight. However, that fact alone is not the reason some people think it is to not worry about the problem. Climate change is a process that usually takes millennia. I've realized the worrying part is not necessarily the change itself, but rather the speed at which it is happening. Some life forms might get left behind. And how will humanity cope? We don't know, as we haven't been around long enough to deal with the extremes of the past. While human activity has sped up certain elements, and while we can undo some of what has been done through our actions now, some things, like higher sea levels, will be with us for up to 1,000 years. According to the latest IPCC report, we are past the point of no return for 1.5 degrees Celsius, and will need to make rapid, fundamental changes to our society this decade to stop it going any further than that. This will be hard. There's no way we as a species will be able to achieve this hard path unless we can agree on the facts that underpin it, though. Without the broader context of agreed-upon data, it will forever be perfectly possible to arrive at a wide range of conclusions and different paths we should take. That is why, when it comes to any discussion, context is so important. By looking at the pattern of our planet's history, we see that the current uptick in global temperatures is an induced event that doesn't match already existing patterns, and it perfectly coincides with human activity. Debate what you want to do with that information and the best path to take in light of it, but these are the facts, set in ice and the bones of organisms long dead. They will brook no argument. Dealing with all the crises that the world seems to throw at you daily can get a little overwhelming. Sometimes it's important to take care of yourself. That's why today's video is in paid partnership with BetterHelp. Mental health is a cause that is deeply important to me. And I've seen that when someone is struggling, it can be hard to seek help sometimes. But having someone to talk to, even if it's just to get things off your chest, can be hugely beneficial. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and they've made it their mission to increase accessibility to that vital service for everyone. Their online platform can get you registered with a credentialed therapist that's right for you in just a few days, giving you access to a wealth of experience as well as that vital listening ear. It's 100% online and remote.
Well, we're not seeking to promote any particular service. So,
meaning you can call it.
I would have to say that the advertisement that we're just being made aware of there is something we don't need to take to heart. Now, if we were to entertain any advertisement online, it would be very time consuming were we to then continue to try to follow every other advertisement in order to be fair, or on the grounds of fairness, perhaps we could say. So that's why I generally attempt to do my best to not watch advertisements, but I do a lot of research on the things I'm interested in, and I find products using methods of my own research. We're very near the end of our video now, and I find services the same way, of course, but I'm not generally seeking services very often, because every time you engage somebody to serve you, it completely changes your routine, or it threatens it. So anyway, which is not always a bad thing, by the way. It is currently September 5th, 2023, 1832 hours Eastern Daylight Time. And I'm Ward Green. I've been with you today, as I have for consecutive days back until, I'm trying to remember what month, but sometime in 2022, I believe. Was it April 5th, perhaps? Something like that. Anyway, we have come to a conclusion here. I love you. This is on my behalf, my watch, Crow, because she's a, it's not a chronometer, what's it called? I forgot the name of it, what you call that. It's a chronograph. It's a chronograph, that's what it is. Now, and this is Cassie, and Cassie's also got a chronograph built into her. She's my digital watch. And they're saying bye for now.